Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Some men have asked me over the years, is hiring a dating coach really necessary and beneficial? Well, I say it depends on the man. You can ask a similar question, such as, is hiring a personal trainer necessary and beneficial if your desire is to lose weight and improve your physique? Again, I say it depends on the man. When you live in a large metropolitan city such as Los Angeles, there are literally hundreds of thousands of attractive, sexy, single women just waiting to be approached by the right guy in the right way. What are some of the best venues that will improve your chances of meeting desirable women? What type of clothes should you wear on a first date? What type of conversation should you engage in with a woman when you first meet her? What if the woman is in a nightclub surrounded by three or four of her girlfriends? How should you proceed? The first key to identifying a quality dating coach is to do some research on him or her and investigate what type of assistance are they offering. Does their advice center on inner game? Does it center on outer game? Do they espouse and endorse a direct approach? Or do they more so lean towards an indirect approach? Or do they offer advice that combines elements of both? My guest tonight is an up-and-coming dating coach who resides in the Los Angeles area, and he is dedicated to helping single heterosexual men improve their level of self-confidence, their conversation skills with women, and ultimately, he desires to help men do a better job of attracting desirable women in the general Los Angeles area. Who is this man who believes that an investment in his services will be money well spent? His name is Max Kramer. And Max believes that successful dating in Los Angeles can be a trip, as in T-R-I-P-P. Tonight, Mr. Kramer, who is the CEO of Trip Dating Advice, is going to take time out of his schedule in order to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black man has some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in the race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode One! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry.
I'm gonna take my time. She gon' get hers before I'm gonna take it slow. I'm not gonna rush the stroll so she can get a sensual seduction. So I can get a sensual seduction. So we can get a sensual seduction. Sensual seduction.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, December 6th, and go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it. You missed me, didn't you? You missed me, didn't you? Okay, my ego is assuming that you miss me. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, I'm in off the air live for 2 weeks. So I'm assuming, well, at least one person in my chat room told me they miss me. And that's Adrian, a.k.a. Diva362636. Yep, she wrote me on Facebook and told me that she missed hear my voice on air. But yeah, this is my first live show in 3 weeks. Adrian just told me she knows she must have love for me because Scandal is on. You know, all the women in the country watch Scandal. That's the show. I mean, you know how certain songs come on and all the women go, hey, that's my song. Well, Scandal is the TV show equivalent to a woman's favorite song. When Scandal come on, all the women say, hey, that's my show. And but yeah, and the Heat and the Knicks. Adrian's a big Heat fan. The Knicks are giving them all they can handle. So anyway, it's glad to be back. And man, it's football on too. Goodness gracious. I got a lot of competition. Yeah. I was on a 2 week hiatus. Well, 1 week I would have been off anyway, and that's Thanksgiving. I never do a show on Thanksgiving. So I didn't do a show on Thanksgiving, and also I didn't do a show last Thursday, which was the week after Thanksgiving, because I got a lot of things going on. And but I will be on air live for at least the next 3 weeks. Yes, starting today, I will be on the air today, next Thursday, and the Thursday after that. So the 6th today, 13th, and the 20th. Then I will be off air again. I will be going on another hiatus, as I always do each year. I go on anywhere from a 2 to 3 week hiatus for the holidays. So I won't be on the air on Thursday, December 27th. And I won't be on air Thursday, January 3rd. But I will be back on the air on Thursday, January 10th. Thursday, January 10th. So, I'll be on air the next 3 weeks, including tonight. Then I'll be off air for 2 weeks. Then I'll be back on air in the second Thursday in January. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving holiday. And I hope last week was great for everyone. We got what should be a good show tonight. I'm going to be interviewing a dating coach who I first crossed paths with on Twitter. See, we live in that world where many of us, in addition to crossing paths with people in person, we tend to cross paths with people either on Facebook or Twitter or other social media sites. And I decided to invite him on my show, and I'm going to see what type of advice he has offered me. Because now, you know, for me, it's been interesting. When I have another dating coach on my show, it's kind of been hit or miss. It's like rolling the dice. I'd say roughly one half to two thirds of my interviews with other dating coaches have been very good, very friendly, very informative, and probably about
no less than 1/4 to 1/3 of them ended up being kind of contentious or argumentative. And the reason you hear me say other dating coaches, for those who are not familiar with me, see, in addition to being a book author, I'm a dating coach myself. So, yes, I have my own, you know, personal principles and philosophies. And I think the dating coaches I haven't gotten along with have been those that I just felt were either A, giving very bad advice to men, or B, their advice was just involved things, lying to women, manipulating women. I don't like that. But, you know, I realize that not every dating coach is going to be similar to me or have principles and philosophies that are just like mine. So I do tend to invite dating coaches that may have a different take on their advice, or they might offer advice that I just don't give. Like, you know, being a dating coach is like being a physician. You might have a general physician that you go to, but oftentimes you go to specialists. You go to one physician for your feet. You go to one physician for your back. You go to one physician for your heart. You go for one physician for your skin. And that's kind of, in many ways, how it is for dating coaches. You know, you have some guys who are what I would call a general practitioner type dating coach that cover all the bases. Then you have other dating coaches that specialize in one particular area of dating. And I would generally put myself in the latter category. I'm more of a specialist. But anyway, I think tonight's conversation should be a good one. Next week, I am going to be interviewing a woman named Jody Ambrose. Jody Ambrose is going to be my guest next week. And she's going to be talking about, among other things, my favorite subject, and that's fucking. No, that's not the sole topic of next week, but she does. She's going to come on my show, and her book is called Sex: How Men Can Get More of It, A Guy's Roadmap to Paradise in and Out of the Bedroom. That is author and dating and relationships expert Jody Ambrose. She will be here next week. That will be my guest next week. And then I will have a show on December 20th, but I have not yet confirmed my guest. And as soon as I do, I will let you know on my website, on Blog Talk Radio, or you can check me out on Twitter or Facebook. I'll keep you guys posted. I love all my listeners. I love all my listeners. But as you know, I got special love for my chat room listeners. I already mentioned one of them, Adrian, a.k.a. Diva 362636. She is in my chat room while she's multitasking. She is watching Scandal. She's watching the Heats and Knicks, Heat versus Knicks. She's watching Denver versus Oakland, and she's listening to me. Give it up for that sister, boy. See, they teach multitasking at the Ohio State University. And that's what she's doing. I got Ben 3 in my chat room. I got a couple of guests. I got KC1082. I got Nothing Z. And I got Sousa. See, I always have problems pronouncing this username. I don't know why he does this to me. Sousa Hadesis. I don't know how to pronounce it. Something like that. Sousa Hadesis. And I should have a few more of my regular listeners coming into the chat room as the conversation goes forward. Other shout-outs would be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. My younger cousins, Jason, J.P. Jones in Chicago, at the Ball in Maplewood, New Jersey. Christopher Curry in Detroit, Michigan, Philip Pulliam and his older brother Irvin, the Pulliam the third, EVP3. Yes. Other shout outs, Vanessa Turner, Edie Lee Harris, all my female supporters from my female support group on Facebook, and just all my followers on Facebook and Twitter. Much love and respect to you. Man, I was really sad to hear about the Kansas City football player who killed his girlfriend and then shot himself, committed suicide. Man. See, I've had people say that, you know, Alan, why are you talking about dating relationships so much? Dating relationships is not the most serious of topics. Shit. Yes, it is. This dude killed himself over a relationship. A lot of people have. Relationships can lead to much drama if you allow them to. I know people I've known personally who've gotten injured or killed because of a relationship. So people should never treat dating relationships like it's some type of just lighthearted topic or like it's a trivial topic. No, it's not. You know, so I was really sad, that the guy would take his girlfriend's life and then his own life. And, Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman, they've been married forever, but now it looks like they're headed towards divorce, although some reports say they're trying to work things out. But, it just shows you, you know, that was one of those Hollywood couples that I thought would just last forever. But, you know, I don't know. One video that's going viral is about Jay-Z. Did you see the video of Jay-Z riding the subway? See? And people think celebrities don't ride the subway. Jay-Z was on the subway talking to this older woman. And you got to go see it. Google it. Jay-Z on the subway. Very entertaining video. Very entertaining video. Anyway, I'm going to take a commercial break. And when I get back, hopefully my guest will be ready to get the conversation going. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I ain't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
please visit www.modeone.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. My guest this evening was born in Chicago, Illinois, my neck of the woods, and he was raised in nearby Buffalo Grove, Illinois. He earned degrees in communications and sociology from the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. I have a cousin that graduated and a number of friends that graduated from U of I. They're a major sports rival of mine, given that I'm a graduate of Indiana University. So he's from the Big Ten Conference. He's been interviewed on a number of media publications, including Planet Love Match. He enjoys watching films. He enjoys drinking scotch and just general socializing. And he had a client. Here's one of his testimonials. He had a client who had never kissed a girl, and within 3 months of his training, this client lost his virginity. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's what a good dating coach does, listeners, helps men lose their virginity, because a lot of virgins do come seek out dating coaches. And he just wrote an ebook that he is going to be giving away for free on his website called 10 Simple and Unknown Dating Tips to Increase Attraction. 10 Simple and Unknown Dating Tips to Increase Attraction. That's an ebook of my guest that's available on his website. Listeners, give it up on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward. Give it up for Trip. Man, you're a trip.
I've heard that once or twice.
I'm sure you hear variations of that all the time.
I have people who are, my company is called Trip Advice, so I get jokes all the time like, so is this like doing acid or like tripping? I'm like, no. No.
You're like, no. Now, okay, does that have special meaning, that name? How did that name come about?
It started, I'd say about 3 years ago. It was, I started a podcast with my buddy for fun, just like this one. It's called Dudes Talking About Chicks.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and we started a podcast, all because I was actually giving dating advice to my buddy, and he's like, and he's really into making podcasts, and he's very tech savvy. He said, you know what? You give me great advice all the time. Why don't we start a podcast together? We can give advice to people. So I said, sure. And when we started it, I was a little hesitant. I didn't want to give my real name out. So I wish I had a better story. I don't know where the name Trip came from, but I wanted a name that sounded cool and that was one syllable. That was like the thing. And I came up with Trip, and that was it. So I just kind of kept that as a nickname throughout.
Yeah, that's funny you say it. That was once. Well, you know, I tell people all the time, because I get teased because I'm a dating coach who uses not only my real name, but literally my real full name, Alan Roger Curry. And and I remember people would sometimes write me on message boards like, man, why do you do that? I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, you know, most dating coaches and seduction gurus, they use pseudonyms or, you know, monikers similar to rappers. And it's funny because if you really look at the seduction community, you'll see that I would say probably 2/3 or 3/4 of the dating coaches and seduction gurus do not use their real name. For example, I get two that I'm cool with that I've had on this show. Sasha Daygame. Of course, that's not his real name, but that's the moniker he goes by. Sasha Daygame. Then another guy I've had on the show, David X. Now, his first name is David, but he just doesn't use his real last name. So I find that interesting, but I remember one time I was being interviewed, and a guy was kind of tripping on me over there. He was like, why do you use your real name? I'm like, you know, why not? But anyway, so
against the rules.
Let me ask you, you kind of alluded to it already, but you said you were giving dating advice to some of your friends. Was that the turning point for you? Because I was looking at your history, and you and I are kind of similar in respect to my initial career pursuits, and to a certain degree they still are, was in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
I did some acting, and then later I was pursuing a career in L.A. as a filmmaker and screenwriter, and I see you have worked extensively in the entertainment industry. What made you switch from your entertainment pursuits? Or you, for all I know, you might be still maintaining those too, but what series of events made you say, okay, I'm going to really take this giving dating advice serious?
So what happened was, you know, I moved out here from Chicago to work in entertainment, and I had a pretty good job. I was at a really good company. I was on a major studio lot working for a big producer. And, you know, what happened was I got so bored of the industry, and I kind of started to hate it because I saw how people treated each other, and I saw how, you know, the real ways that movies and TV shows were put together. And it was, you know, in my eyes, I don't know if people would disagree with me, but I know a lot of people that would agree with me, it's a very dirty business. And it's very superficial. And I became very unattracted to it. And so what I did was for those 3 or 4 years that I was working in the industry, I was so kind of bored and I was trying to shut it out. I started to actually just go out a lot. And I, you know, I didn't know anyone in Los Angeles. I was maybe knew about a couple of people and I was kind of shy, but I wanted to go out and I wanted to, you know, start meeting some girls and start exploring that area. So I actually started going out a lot, not anywhere from sometimes 5 nights a week. I even had a time where, I went out actually one time 3 weeks in a row, even on Sundays, every single night I was going out. What's funny about that is people say, like, wow, how did you, you know, you must have been, like, gotten sick after that. I mean, the thing was is I wasn't drinking. I was actually going out, and I was doing it all just completely sober. I wanted to really nail down exactly how to socialize properly and meet and attract girls, all not under the influence. So I was doing this while I was working, and that's kind of when the podcast started. You know, I started getting really good at it, and I started giving my friends from home back in Chicago advice. I was giving my friends in LA advice, and that's when the podcast actually started. And I transitioned from the entertainment industry. I said, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm finding that my passion is really lying in social dynamics and attraction and confidence, and it was such a blessing to help so many guys over the radio. So I decided to take that and do it as a full-time career.
That's an interesting story, Trip. I won't lie to you. Even though I still have a few aspirations, mainly I would love to have at least one or two of the screenplays I've written produced into a film. But that aside, I kind of, for the most part, experienced the same thing you did. And I know a lot of people who have. I mean, that's not a rare experience. Is a lot of people I know who started off with a lot of lofty goals in the entertainment industry found themselves over a period of months, years, and decades just becoming jaded. And like you said, they saw how, I mean, there's a lot of industries you could say that are challenging and competitive, but the entertainment industry is in many ways a dog eat dog industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you saw people would stab you in the back in a second to get ahead, and we could talk about that for just 3 hours alone. The ups and downs of the entertainment industry. So you start doing this podcast, and the podcast became very popular, and I take it your advice that you were giving to men became very popular to the point where guys start saying, hey, Trip, man, you know, can you know work with me on this one scenario?
Yeah, they actually started to not only see results, but guys would come back for more, and there's only so many questions that we could answer and so many calls we could take on our show, so I started getting actual offers, money offers, to just get on the phone with me and talk and give guys advice. And that was kind of what hit it. I was like, you know what? I love what I'm doing. I love helping these guys. And it kind of like, it hit me. Like, I knew at that time, you know, I knew all of the seduction community. I knew that there were a lot of dating coaches out there and pickup artists doing this, but I never thought about that. That wasn't an intention when we started the podcast to monetize it or make money off of it. But that was when it hit me, when finally it became real and someone actually offered me money for advice. And I think it was that, and another quick thing was what really sealed the deal was I actually was getting drinks with somebody, doing some networking in the entertainment industry and meeting with another assistant to a producer, and I told them about the podcast. And this time it was actually very secretive. I didn't really want a lot of people to know about it, even though it was popular. But I said, you know what, screw it. So I told this guy about it, told him about the podcast, and he goes, hey, man, actually, I need some advice. Can you help me out? And I go, sure. So he asked me a bunch of questions and about this girl and that girl, what do I do? And I started just talking his head off, and he was just listening, and I was just talking. And at the end of it, his mind was kind of blown. He's like, wow, that was really good advice. Like, thank you. I'm gonna use that. That was really, really good stuff. And I think after that conversation, I was walking to my car, and then it finally just hit me. I was like, you know what? That was amazing. I loved doing that. I'm going to start doing this as an actual business. And the next day, I started to figure out how to put up a web.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Now, before you get serious, because I know when I first gained an interest, it was really, I want to say arguably, it was before the advent of the internet. But my question to you was going to be, were you familiar with a lot of well-known pickup artists and dating coaches such as, you know, Mystery and those type of guys before you got going, or were you totally ignorant to the whole attraction and seduction community?
No, I knew all about it. I mean, I was kind of like any other guy. I picked up the game, you know, I think maybe 3 years before that. So I read the game 5 years ago or so. And I mean, I love it. I read that book like 3 times because it was just such an amazing story. But everything in that book for a couple of years, I was just like, I put it to the side. I was like, yeah, I don't know. That seems all weird. They're doing magic tricks at the bar. It was kind of like strange. So I just kind of put it aside. And yeah, I didn't like it. I was like, it's weird for me.
I'm sorry, that just cracks me up.
but you know, I mean, like, and it's still going on. So a lot of guys are doing that stuff. Hey, if it works for you, I say if it works for you, don't stop doing it. That's what I say. But
yeah.
It wasn't my thing, and I did a little bit of that. You know, I wrote stuff online, and I even went to there's some meetings that happen all over the country. They have different layers and stuff. And I went to a couple of those, and they were okay, but they didn't. There's something about it that I didn't really like. There's something ingenuine about it. And I was always a social guy, so I didn't really need to learn how to be social. I just needed to really get better at being more confident and being able to go after, you know, girls and girls I was attracted to at an easier level. So I think the way that I figured it all out was by actually just going out and forcing myself to go out as much as I can and just put myself in the situations. And then come back and say, what went right, what went wrong? And if I ever got to a point where I just couldn't, you know, get better, if I was like, yeah, okay, I can approach fine, but I couldn't really get past 2 minutes of conversation, I would talk to some friends about it and maybe do a little research on the internet, but I never got too involved. So I knew it was all there, but I didn't really do much studying of that stuff.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, what did you find? You generally grew up in a large metropolitan area, that being Chicago. I grew up in Northwest Indiana myself. Within your first, say, year or two of living in Los Angeles, was there anything, any characteristics of the dating and social scene in Los Angeles that you found distinctly different than, say, the Chicago area?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, well, for me personally, I always came from, you know, a big city and a school. I went to a high school of 4,000 people. U of I has 40,000 people. And I was very used to all kind of stuff, you know. So I was always, you know, meeting friends through friends. It was very organic.
Mm-hmm.
But coming out to L.A., it's like, it's not really like that, right? It's a very transitory town, so there's definitely social circles and there's groups of people, but it's not as networked. It's not as like the spider web as it is in a place like Chicago, where people are growing up there from, you know, from little kids all the way up to through college. So, you know, everyone knows each other. And out here, it's like you'll meet people and it's harder to kind of gain access to those social circles. So you're really forced to kind of be on your own and either start your own social circle, which takes a long time and is difficult, or you have to enter someone else's, which is also very difficult. So I just find that it's not as connected out here. It is in a these like that, which makes it difficult.
Now, given what you just said, do you find that a lot of your clients who come to you, do they acknowledge those challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, a lot of guys who I've coached with, they're guys who just moved here. They moved here, they moved to L.A., and they want to get socializing. They want to start making friends. They want to start getting a girlfriend. They want to start getting laid, and it's very difficult. They find it very difficult. It's a very spread-out city, so it's hard to meet people. So they seek out someone like myself who can help them get through that. And some people fail, you know. Some people don't do that well. And being in Los Angeles, it's difficult. Being that it's intimidating, it's kind of superficial, it's very spread out. And that's why I think it's one of the reasons why I think it's a very transitory town. I think people get lonely, and I think they leave, and they go back to wherever they came from. I know a lot of people who've done that, a lot of friends, actually.
Yeah, I've known quite a few people. Because, as I mentioned, I lived in L.A. for 6.5 years. Now, I didn't leave really voluntarily. My thing was my parents got real sick. So that's what caused me to leave. But I would make the argument that cities like New York and Los Angeles, to me, is where dating coaches are really needed. I mean, you know, some people would argue they need it everywhere, but to me, if you live in, like, rural Maybury, Oklahoma or something, you know, I mean,
right.
I don't know.
You don't need it.
There might be some minor things you might need, but it's not that. But cities like Los Angeles, man, that's just putting you in a lion's den for all the reasons you already mentioned. And, yeah, I would say the top two for me definitely is New York and L.A. Because, like you said, people come there. A lot of times you don't know anybody. Like, I remember when I first moved to L.A., I knew maybe a handful of people, but I didn't know that many people. And
right.
And so yeah, it can LA, and it's so spread out. So so many different venues all over the place. It can be very, very intimidating. Now, I was mentioning in my opening comments to my listening audience that I kind of loosely sometimes compare the work of a dating coach to maybe that of a physician, in the sense that with physicians, you know, you have a few men and women who are kind of general practitioners, but most people specialize in something. And I find you have dating coaches, for example, who might specialize in inner game advice, then others outer game advice. And, you know, some might be specifically helping men find a wife or helping men find the next girlfriend, or some just night scoring at a nightclub. Do you have a particular niche that you're known for, that your clients associate you with, or do you kind of cover just a number of bases?
I do cover a number of bases. I mean, the way I sell myself and tell guys what I can do for them is, you know, it is a lot of inner game stuff. So I do work on confidence. I think the main thing I work on with guys, because I believe if they don't have that, then it's really not going to work out for the rest of what they're trying to learn. But what I do is I take guys from the point where they don't know how to meet women, they don't know how to approach, they're really shy, they have low self-esteem, they look like shit. And I take them from that point to the point where they can actually go and approach the girls that they're attracted to and get a date. So it's like I do that first part. I'm going to help you get on the date. I'm going to help you, you know, get laid if that's what you want. I'll get you to that point where you want to actually, you know, soar in socializing and meeting the girls that you want to meet. So I don't really deal with anything with relationships for no particular reason, really. It's just, I guess, something I never really had a big passion to teach about, but I love, you know, being able to break guys out of their shell and show them a world that they don't think is possible. Show them that even though they think that they're ugly and they think that no one wants to talk to them, that they can actually get on dates with beautiful girls. So I kind of take that first part, those first steps, and get you where you're going. Some guys come back and they want more and they want to kind of push it. They want to actually get better at, you know, okay, now I can get girls, but now exactly, like, where should I take them on it? How do I get into a relationship? And I'll help with that. But in terms of, you know, what they're looking for is they need someone to be a coach to them, like a physical trainer. They need someone to push them and get them past those anxieties, and also just understand, you know, what the hell women are thinking, because there's a lot of guys out there who don't know. And some guys claim they do, and they still don't.
But that's interesting. I don't know if you heard my opening intro. It's interesting that you compare being a dating coach to a personal trainer, because that's one of my, other than the one I already use with physicians, that's another one I use very frequently, is I tend to compare the value of a dating coach with the value of a personal trainer. I mean, yeah, you don't absolutely have to have a personal trainer in order to work out or eat right, but number one, it benefits you for the reasons you mentioned, having someone to push you beyond your boundaries, get you out of your comfort zone, and just give you, you know, some worthwhile advice and new perspectives that you might have not thought about before. Listeners, if you have a question for my guest, you can call in to 646-478-5710. That's 646-478-5710. I have a few more guests in my chat room. Adam Grieco has joined us. I'm getting ready to take a intermission break, but when I get back, I will have more questions and more conversation with Trip. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back in a... Whoa, wait. I won't be right back in a second because my... Oh, there we go. Okay. I'll be right back in a second. Don't go anywhere.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Scores Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex disease.
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Oh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog, with lots of adventures and tips. It's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff, because it's awesome! And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls. If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you. He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher, and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from. Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister name.
Okay. Well, I will see you.
You will?
Soon. Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the street. You know, chap girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. It's one little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah. Check out the bootcamp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and
stop being a fucking. Just what? Come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my interview with Max Kramer, CEO of Trip Advice, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. If you've just tuned in, I am having a conversation with an up-and-coming dating coach who's based in the Los Angeles metropolitan area, and he goes by simply the name Trip, and his company is called Trip's Advice, and he helps a lot of single heterosexual men navigate their way through the Los Angeles dating scene and social scene. And I have a caller on the line who has a question or a comment. Area code 205, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest Trip. What's your question and or comment?
What's up, Trip and Alan Roger Curry? How you doing?
Oh, good, good.
Okay, my question is, why do men have to do most of the work when it comes to dating and interacting with women? I mean, why do men get bombarded with messages like make her laugh, have confidence, look for signals in body language, you got to impress her, be witty, work out, be more attractive, et cetera. But women don't have to do any of that. You know, all they have to do is just put on some makeup and, you know, go to a club or something to wait for guys to hit on them. I mean, you know, how come there's no PUA community for women and, you know, like more attraction books for women? I mean, we got guys paying thousands of dollars for boot camps to help men, but I don't see any women taking classes like this. I mean, even just fat, ugly women can just put on some makeup and go to a bar and have plenty of guys just hovering over her. I mean, they act like some type of special breed of human or something, like goddesses. I mean, they act like, you know, if I like him, I'll grace him with my presence. But if not, he gets the boot. You know, in my area, I got guys going up to women. They dance for them. You know, they act like clowns. They do magic tricks. And you know what? Why can't they dance for me, you know? Sing me a song. You know, why can't you perform a magic trick for me? You know, have some substance for a change. Talk about something other than the new Twilight movie you just saw or Harry Potter movie or the new Tyler Perry movie. You know, why can't you be funny for me or talk about something intelligent for once, you know?
Jack, what city are you in?
I'm in Birmingham.
Birmingham, Alabama. Okay. Trip, what's your response to his question and comments?
I have a lot. I have so many. I need to gather my thoughts right now. First
okay.
of all, I just want to say this is a fantastic question, and I love it. The questions I love them the ones that don't get asked a lot, and this is one that I really rarely hear. And I think about this all the time, and I thought about it a while I was going through my journey. And here's the thing: first of all, what you've got to understand is women are going through boot camps. In fact, they do it every single day. You know where they're doing it? They're doing it on the phone with their friends. They're doing it at brunch with their friends. They're doing it in class, in class. They're constantly talking about dating. They're constantly talking about their dating issues. This is something that is, and I hate to be that guy who's doing all these generalizations, but it's true. Women talk about this stuff all the time. There's magazines, Cosmo, everything, dedicated to helping women please their man, get a man. In fact, I would say the market to help women is probably, and I'm pulling this out of my ass, but probably at least five times larger in terms of how much money is in terms of helping these girls. The thing is you might not have realized that because it's so ingrained in society. You see it all the time, but they are working on it a lot, okay? So that's one kind of answer to your question, but also, when we're teaching guys to go out and they have to be the ones that have the confidence and they have to be the ones that work out, well, why are we teaching them all this stuff? Why are guys trying to learn this stuff, right? They're trying to learn all this stuff so they can get the best women possible. At least that's what they want, right? They want to go out and they want to get the hottest girl. They want to get the girl who's matches all their criteria and whatever they're looking for, okay? If you really think about it in a new perspective, those girls, they are working at it, right? Those girls who are beautiful, who are awesome and have all their shit together, they're working their ass off so they can be beautiful for you, so they can be all those things that you want to be. So they are working at it. But you make a good point when you say, you know, how come still, you know, a fat girl can go out and and still get laid.
They can get more attention than an average guy. Like
right.
A decent looking guy, you know, just a fat, ugly hoe with just some makeup on and sweat clothes. She can get more attention than just a decent guy.
He said
right.
A fat, ugly hoe. That's cold, man. That's cold.
I mean, it's true.
Hey,
I mean, I see it. They mean, you know.
It's crude, but you bring up a point. You do. And that really goes back to genetics. That's just kind of science for us, you know. We're hungry. We're visual, you know. I'm not saying that girls don't want sex, because they do, but we're the hunters. You know, we're the guys who we want to go out and we want to get it and we want it. I mean, you know, there's a bullshit statistic out there that says men have sex in the brain like every 8 seconds, and it's not necessarily true, but there's a reason why it is out there, because men do think about sex a lot. It's on our brains a lot, right? So we're the ones who are like, hey, put 3 beers, 4 beers, whatever, and a few shots in me, and there's a girl who starts to look good, we're going to go for it. Okay, but here's another thing too is back to what I was saying before, those women out there who are not working at it, who, you know, who are depressive, and those girls that you talk to, you know, who are always just like complaining about their problems and maybe they're overweight. Those girls, they're not going to get a good guy. Yeah, maybe they'll get laid, maybe, when they go out to the bar hoping some guy gets drunk enough, but they're not going to get a good guy. It's not going to happen for them. Same for the guys who, you know, don't have the confidence and don't work out. They're not going to get the good girls. So I understand where you're coming from. You got to kind of alter your perspective a little bit and realize that it's not really like you say.
I mean, it is. I got to disagree with you on the boot camps thing because, I mean, just because they talk on the phone doesn't mean, you know, that they're improving in their interactions with men. You know, usually when you talk to them, you know, they act like they have an attitude and they don't have anything useful to add to the conversation. They just talk about, you know, who they don't like at their job or, you know, just why their life sucks. And just it's just really nothing positive or really interesting to talk about. And most of the time the men are just leading the conversations and the women are just experiencing what the men have to offer, but they're not bringing anything to the table of their own. I mean, I'm just tired of the pressure society puts on men to interact with women and how women have to do little to nothing when interacting with men.
Well, that also comes back to your values. You know, if you're a guy who, let's say, you have everything worked out, okay? You do have confidence and you do, you know, you're looking good, your fashion's all put together, and you're going out there and you know, like, your inner game, whatever, your confidence, everything is totally solid, then you're going to be going out there, and sure, maybe you'll be the one approaching. Maybe you'll be the one, you know, trying to hold conversation. But if you have your act together, then it's really not like that. In fact, you're the one who's now choosing. Yes, I understand society and how it's brought up is maybe the guys have to make the initial approach. And for whatever reason, that's just how it is. But, you know, after that, game on. You know?
I mean, I just don't understand why women aren't held to the same standards men are. I mean, why can't they, you know, tell jokes for me? Why do I have to tell stories and put on a show, basically, like do like a tap dance, like a clown or something, just to hold their attention? But, you know, they don't have to do anything. You know, like I said, they just put on makeup and they just wait. They don't have to add anything or do anything. They just let the men do all the work.
They do. In a sense, they do, because the guys who are going for those girls who are not doing everything that they want them to do, those are desperate guys. Those are guys who don't care and will go for any girl. What I'm saying is when you have your stuff together, you can be the chooser. Okay, there's plenty of times when I'd go out and I'd be talking to girls and, hey, they'd be beautiful, but I'd be so bored in conversation. They would have nothing. There's no depth to them. I would ask them anything about their passions, what they like to do, and they'd give me almost no answer. And not
I mean,
they
yeah, but I'm the same way, you know. I ask them, they, you know, it's usually the same thing, you know. And, like, what do you do for fun? It's just like, oh, I like shopping, you know. You know, just simple, basic stuff.
Let me ask them, how old are you?
Well, you know, I'm going to interject real quick here. Tripp mentioned that a lot of desperate men are the ones who make the mistake. And caller Jack, it sounds like a lot of your resentment or harsh criticisms are geared towards women, but I would actually partially defend women. I put most of the blame on men. It's, to me, weak, desperate men, for lack of a better way of putting it, is what fucks it up for all the other men. And that's why we end up having to do a lot of times, sometimes more work than we might want to, or put forth more effort, because you have so many men out here that are willing to spoil women with attention and financial favors and et cetera, to the point where women become accustomed to that with every guy that they meet. And it's up to guys who have their game together, as Tripp was discussing and alluding to, that, you know, they need to change the game out here. And I think a lot of guys do sometimes find themselves being a chooser, as Tripp mentioned also. But, yeah, I put no less than 50% of my criticism on men and how men behave towards women. But, yeah, you know, it's not. And, oh, the other thing I co-signed with Tripp, if you do your research on dating books that center on dating relationship advice, there are way more books on the market geared towards helping out women than men. What it is, a lot of the two genders, we want two different things when it comes to advice. I find, and this is just my own opinion and experience, most men looking for advice, they're looking for advice that centers on getting laid. They're not really looking for how to find a wife or even how to find a long-term. Even though I've had a few clients that were looking for either a wife or a long-term girlfriend. But the vast majority of men who are looking for advice to the extent that they would buy a book or attend a workshop, they're primarily looking to improve their ability to engage in casual sex. Whereas women, most women, particularly if they're very attractive, they don't really feel like they need advice on how to get a one-night stand or weekend fling. They feel like they could just pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Jim," or "Hey, Jack, I'm horny. Can you come over tonight?" Most guys are going to come over and get their dick sucked or fuck, because that's just how guys are. Where women, they want advice more so that gears towards finding a husband or a long-term boyfriend. So there's different goals and objectives for each gender, but yeah, they definitely seek out advice. And Jack, you mentioned yourself that a lot of women wear makeup. Men, why don't men wear makeup? Because we don't have to. Women, yeah, they gotta wear high heel shoes. They do their hair every week. Because another thing, my last point would be, men, for better or for worse, a lot of times we're visual creatures. We put most of our emphasis on how a woman looks. And so that's what women concentrate on, is looking better, making themselves more physically attractive, making themselves more sexually desirable, you know, whereas, you know, most of us men, we don't just concentrate on our looks. So anyway, I just wanted to add that in there.
Oh, yeah, definitely the thirsty behavior from men has got to stop.
Oh, yeah, it has to. That, again, that to me, that fucks it up for all the other men, is when you got those thirsty type guys.
Yep.
Yeah. But I still think women need to improve socially, because there's so much pressure for men to do all this social activity for women, but women usually don't have anything useful to add to the conversation. I mean, then I read statistics like how women are the better communicators. You know, I read all this BS from people telling me this stuff like it's good for me, but, you know, how can they can be superior communicators when they don't have anything interesting to talk about, or pretty much anything relevant or useful.
Well, I agree with that criticism, Jack. I disagree that women are, I agree with you on that. Women are not better communicators than men. No, I've talked about that on this show. That is, whatever expert says that, or whatever, in, you know, articles are saying that, they full of shit.
Yeah, that's BS too. Especially because I'm talking to all these airheads that don't have anything fun to talk about.
That's the problem. I think that there's two things that are happening, okay, when you're in a situation like that. One, which is probably the issue, is I don't know where you're meeting with these girls. You know, I don't know kind of where you go out.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. That's really not the most quality place. I mean, sometimes, but not most of the time. It's not the most quality place to get a girl, I mean, unless you're trying to get laid, you know. But if you're trying to find more than that, actually go on a date, maybe get a girlfriend, who knows. Nightclubs aren't really the place to go, you know.
Yeah,
during the day or somewhere else, you know, some kind of activity or event or something going on that's not so, you know, super high charged. Like a club is going to be a lot better for you.
Yeah, it's definitely rare to find a woman of substance at clubs.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that, you know, it's frustrating, you know, and I understand that, but, you know, try to make sure that you're not, you know, generalizing women just from that small sample size of going out to a nightclub, because they're not all like that.
I mean, oh yeah, but I mean, I gotta stay with my point. You know, hoes gotta step it up, and it's just not enough. And I'm kind of getting tired of it.
Jack, you're killing me, man. Hoes gotta step.
Yeah, step their game up. They always tell men that, but I don't see any men telling women that. It's just, you know, women aren't held to the same standards. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, there's some degree of validity to that. Well, okay, Jack, I appreciate you calling in and expressing your thoughts, and I appreciate you listening.
No problem.
Thanks,
Jack.
Alrighty.
I have another caller, and this one I know. This is my regular listener and loyal reader, Stan the Man. What's up, Stan?
What's up, man? Old one? Oh, man. Alan. Damn. Your last book talks about especially, I think every guy, please get the last book of Alan, because it talks especially of the frustration we have of women. Basically, that book just said it all. I congratulations for your book, Alan. It really does.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Real quick, before you continue, Stan, listeners, in case you might not be familiar with my books, of course, my most popular book is called Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. Then I have at least three additional books, but my very last book came out on October 1st, and it's called The Possibility of Sex: How Naive and Lustful Men Are Manipulated by Women Regularly. And I have to say, I'm getting a lot of great feedback. This was interesting, Stan. I've been getting a lot of great feedback from men. But what's interesting, no woman yet to this day has given me feedback on that book.
Well, because you basically in that book you said you laid the cards. You said some stuff that we're like, my God, I can't believe you said that. And I go to guys and I show your book and like, read this, and they're like, no. I'm like, yeah, no, yeah.
Because every other book I've done, I've either gotten some positive reviews from women, or in many cases I've gotten some negative reviews. But on this book, anyway. We can talk about my book. I don't want to spend too much time talking about my book. But
yeah,
what's your question or comment related to tonight's discussion?
Why am I going back to your book related to tonight's discussion? Because like in your book, I really feel there's a lot of women out there who are trying a lot. And when I hear guys, when I hear your the person that you invited, that you're saying be confident. You could be the most I'm a confident guy. I know what I want. I know the direction I want. And I'm sorry to say, there's a lot of women who don't know what they want, who don't know the direction they want, who are bitter because of men, who are not ready to give 100% to a guy, who are ready to put 20 walls and prove they don't want to take any chance. They don't want to take any chance. You could have a conversation with them, and you look at them like, you're not ready at all. At all. And I'm not talking just club. I'm talking any social place. I could go to clubs. I could go to a cafe place. I could go to a social place. And I have no problem approaching any kind of woman I find attractive. And especially the attractive women, and I agree with the other caller, the attractive women get so many guys who are ready to kiss their ass and do whatever they need to, that those women say, I don't need to do anything. I have girlfriend tells me that. I have friends, very close friends, very attractive women who told me that. Look what I could do, Sammy. And they're making it. Playing games, playing guys like left and right, having free drink, having this and that, and showing it to me. I even had a girl that I know, a personal girl, that had a guy pay $35,000 a car to have a car to be with her.
Wow.
Damn.
So let's not act like, oh, yeah, we're women. I'm very disappointed. Since I've been single since January, I am extremely disappointed of dating. And when I'm hearing that we're saying, well, you're going to be more confident, I could be the most confident guy in the world. But I could only bring it. I take one thing. I take 100% responsibility for what I do in my life, especially dating. And I make sure that I get the best information to be the best person I need to be. But that's the only thing I could control. Like many of the show that Alan did, and I agree with him. I can't control the woman. I could be the best guy in the world, but I'm sorry, best guy in the world doesn't mean that you will get a lot of women.
Yeah, there's some truth to what you're saying, yeah. I mean, yeah, all you can do is concentrate on your behavior towards women and, you know, what you have to offer and et cetera, but you can never control women's behavior towards you.
To talk about this, because I'm listening to you got to be more confident. I'm like, okay, but I'm sure he met some guy that has everything that's going. He's working hard. He is confident. He believes in himself, dressed up well. Knows his things, has standards, things that he thinks, and still doesn't have a woman. After a while, you gotta look and say, is it really me?
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Trip?
Yes, I do. I do think it's you. Because if you're, let's say, what you were saying, like the perfect guy, and you have everything going for you, and you're not finding the right woman, well, then you're not putting – I think this goes back almost directly to what we were saying to the other caller, is that you're not putting yourself in for the right women. That's the problem. You can't go ahead and say, you know, that's it. I'm great, and all these women suck.
No, I'm not saying that. I never said that. I'm not saying I'm great. I'm saying I still have things to improve and things like that. But I know myself and who I am. I know what I saw. I said there's certain criteria that I've learned through Alan and through different groups and working on myself that I never do, ever will do, ever. The thing of being bitter and making a woman pay for my past, I'll never do that. Never will, never did. How many women could say that?
Okay. I'm a little stuck here because I'm confused almost as if of what the issue is, of what we're saying is the problem here.
The problem is I feel a lot of women don't want to give as much as a man want to give. They want to basically, I'm not going to take a chance until the guy has to prove all the standard, all the 2,000 criteria, and then I'll take a chance. Instead of saying, you know what, as a woman, I'm going to bring the best that I have to bring, and if a guy doesn't like it, well, he doesn't like it. It's like one time Alan had a show, and the women were freaking out because he had the question, and Alan asked the perfect question. Why would you go out with a guy who's judging you?
Oh, yeah. I remember that show. Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about, premarital promiscuity and should a woman reveal things about her sexual past to a guy. And my argument or statement was that if asked, yes, you should. I don't think any woman should just arbitrarily give information about a sexual past. But I think if you're entering a new relationship and a guy specifically asks you, for example, have you ever participated in an orgy or have you ever made it with another woman, I think you should reveal that information. But some of the women I was interviewing, they were saying, no, that a woman should keep her sexual past to herself. You know, she should never reveal information.
What about a man? Don't some women say a man should?
Yeah, I have no problem.
I think a man should, if asked.
Yeah, if asked. problem. And if a woman has a problem with that, she's gone. I'm not going to change who I am. I'm not going to apologize for being a man. I'm not going to apologize for anybody for being a man. There are a lot of women, I think they forget they need to not apologize for being women. And a lot of women forget that.
I think it's the same thing. I don't care if it's a man or a woman. I don't care who you are. I mean, the same goes for both sexes. If we're talking about revealing the sexual past, one should be more honest than the other. But it also feels like there's a lot of generalizations happening here. You know, I know that out there, I know for a fact, okay, no matter what, all great women out there, they exist, okay? You just haven't found them yet. And that's why I'm saying it's the guy's issue. It's because, well, maybe not 100%. You know, there's only so much you can do in terms of putting yourself out there. But, I mean, they're out there. Okay? There's a lot of shitty women out there, too. There's a lot of shitty men out there, too.
And I agree with you. They're out there. But can you compare when a guy compared to a woman? As a guy, I have to approach, present me 100, 1,000 women approaching me. Trust me not, I'll find 10. A guy approaching a girl who has 1,000 guys, she'll complain and say, I can't find one.
I agree with you, Tripp. And both of you all actually are making valid statements. Based on my interactions with some of my clients, I understand where Stan's frustration is coming from. Matter of fact, the type of frustration he's expressing is a lot what led to me writing my last book, The Possibility of Sex. Just so you know, Tripp, this is kind of the basis of where my advice kind of starts, is I divide all women into four categories, which is reciprocators, rejectors, pretenders, and time wasters. And for both you as well as some of my listeners who might not be familiar with my books, the first two are pretty self-explanatory. Reciprocator, that would be a woman you approach, and once you let her know what your romantic and or sexual desires, interests, and intentions are, she's going to reciprocate your interests in a fairly quick manner and a fairly straightforward manner. A rejector would be a woman who does just the opposite. Once you express your desires and interests, she's going to let you know in one way or another that she's not interested. I call those two types your non-manipulative types. They're pretty straightforward. Then my other two types are pretenders. A pretender, that's a woman who will initially or temporarily try to give you the impression that she's not interested in you romantically or sexually, but deep down she is. And the challenge for you is to get her to a point where she is willing to acknowledge that she does indeed have an interest in you. And then the final category of women is what I call time wasters. That's a woman who's pretty much just the opposite of a pretender. That's a woman who will initially give you the impression that she has some degree of romantic or sexual interest in you, but in reality she doesn't. She just wants to be flattered by you, be entertained by you, have you spend money on her, etc. And that's what my last book is about, that Stan referred to. It mainly concentrates on the time wasters. And I find that's the group of women that tend to leave guys feeling the most frustrated. It's not the rejectors.
It's not the pretender. It's not the three other ones. It's the time waster. And there's so many of them, Alex. And I wish that the person that you have would look at this. Because when I'm listening to him, he's saying you have to have confidence. I'm like, yeah, you have to have yes.
Okay, well, Stan, since you brought it up, I'm going to ask Tripp directly. Tripp, when you're working with one of your clients, what advice do you give to male clients on how to identify a woman who's what I would refer to as either an attention whore or a dick teaser? A woman that's basically looking to get flattering attention from you, entertaining attention from you, or even financial favors, but 99.999% chance she ain't gonna give you no pussy. What advice do you get a man to help them identify women in that category?
Well, that's all. I mean, that's all in your initial interaction. You know what I mean? Obviously, there's no way to identify that before you start talking to them, although you can make generalizations. But, I mean, it all depends on how they're reacting to you in your conversation. You know what I mean? It, you know, do they want you to buy them a drink? You know, do they actually give you the time of day in conversation? Are they asking things about you? Do they care about you? Are they, you know, like you were saying, girls reciprocate? Are they reciprocating in conversation? You know, that's how you can tell. You can tell, you know, right away, as soon as you start getting into conversation. But it's funny because as you put out those four different kinds of girls, I almost see that there's four different kinds of guys who fall into that same exact category. I almost see a parallel between men and women who can fit in all four of those categories.
I kind of 3/4 agree, 1/4 disagree.
I know you're going to say the 1/4 because there was one that was a little off. I forgot which one you were saying.
Here's the one I would disagree out of the four I mentioned where I would say, because I actually talk about that in my second book. It's called Upfront and Straightforward, just like the title of the show. And I say the one I don't really find a true male equivalent for is the pretender. Men, if we're interested in having casual sex with a woman, it's rare that a man is going to be interested in having casual sex with a woman and pretend like he's not, especially if the woman has already made it known to him that she wants to fuck. I don't know too many men. You might have maybe 1% of men who might be goofy and do something like that. But I don't know a man who's going to pretend. And I think the reason why you don't have a male equivalent is because of how men and women are socialized. Women, the main reason why you have women who are pretenders is because a lot of women are socialized to present themselves to men as the proverbial good girl, the woman who's innocent and wholesome and not too kinky, not too promiscuous. Men aren't socialized that way. We're not socialized to be, you know, any type of prude. So, yeah, I don't think I've met any men who would qualify. But
I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, and I think that a lot of that comes back, like you're saying, society. And I think there's a lot of women out there who are a little more wary on that front because of also how society, or more specifically their friends, will actually think of them. And guys, they don't care. Guys aren't really, you know, judging like that. There's a lot of girls out there who, you know, they'll make their friends feel bad for doing something like that. Not all, but there's a lot. Where for guys, like, high five, you just banged, you know, another girl. You're up to, you know, 54 or whatever.
As far as a time waster, I think the male equivalent of time waster is a little different. And I say this also in my book. Whereas most female time wasters, at least how I define them, would be a woman who's giving you an impression that, say, she wants to fuck when she really doesn't. Whereas a male time waster is more so a guy who will give a woman the impression that he's interested in a long-term monogamous relationship when he really just wants to fuck. I hear women complain about that a lot, and I agree with that criticism. Where, you know, a man will give a woman the impression he wants to be her boyfriend or possibly her future husband, but then as soon as he fucks her for X number of days or X number of weeks, X number of months, he just dumps him. So anyway, yeah, I think there is a male equivalent for 3 out of the 4, my 3 or 4 categories. So going back to my question.
I had a quick question. I have a real quick question. Is Stan, is that your name, Stanley?
Yeah, I'm here.
I just want to know, where do you live and how old are you?
I'm 35, and right now I'm living in New York.
In New York? Okay.
Yeah.
How's the scene out there? I mean, what's it like? What kind of, I don't know New York that well. I know LA a lot better.
Very competition. People are very busy. They're working all over the time, and very like, go, 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 go. Go, go. It's a very busy city.
Okay. It would seem that New York would be maybe one of the most complicated in difficult cities in America to meet a quality woman for that reason.
What is that noise I'm hearing? Stan, isn't you making all that damn noise?
No, I'm not making any noise.
Man, I'm hearing some serious noise.
Not me.
Okay. Anyway, well, I got to take another intermission break, but Stan, as always, man, I appreciate you listening to the show. I appreciate
more
you calling in.
More than one, Alan. More than
one. Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, before I go to intermission break, give me a nice more one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Give up front, straight forward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Thanks to my friend Stan for calling in. He's always keeps it real, keeps it honest, and keeps it straightforward. He's in the chat room as Stan14057444444. But I will be back right after this last intermission break. Listeners, if you have a question for my guest Trip, or like Stan, just a general comment you want to make about today's dating scene and the value of a dating coach, please call in 646-478-5710. And if you do call in, please press the number 1, and that lets me know that you have something to say. Otherwise, I will assume you are just listening. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zay. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. It's only 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay. There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, and he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like he said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my interview with Max Kramer, CEO of Trip Advice, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward. If you tuned in late, I'm interviewing and conversing with an up-and-coming dating coach who's based in the Los Angeles metropolitan area, and he's sharing some of his thoughts and opinions and assertions about navigating through the LA dating scene, which I would say is arguably the most challenging dating and social scene in the country. The possible exception might be New York, might be just as challenging as LA, but I've lived in LA, and I tell you, there's very few, if any, cities in this country that are more, I'd say the entire world, that are more, like I talked to a guy on a message board who was from London, and he was a guy who was highly successful with women in London, but he said when he spent a month in LA, he said that was the most challenging time he ever had connecting with women. And anyway, my guest tonight is Trip, and Trip knows all about Los Angeles, and he does give advice to his male clients on how to have more success with their love life, their sex life, and their overall social life. I see a couple more calls. Let me see. Area code 111. Are you there? Area code 111. Going once. Going twice.
Is that an area code?
It's. I think when people call in on some kind of VoIP or Skype or something, or I don't know, it shows up as 111. But they're not saying anything. I got their mic open, but they're not saying anything. Oh, and it looks like Jack is back. Jack, you got something else to add, or are you just listening?
Yeah, I got a. I want to answer Stan's question.
Okay.
He was talking about how he asked, was he the problem after getting rejected? Okay. I understand where Stan's coming from, as you know, I've been there myself. Because a lot of people say since you're getting rejected a lot by women, there has to be a problem with yourself. Okay, that's a trap. Don't fall into that. Don't adapt to women's ridiculous standards to gain their affection, man. Just be yourself. I mean, I used to go out and approach women and like get rejected like 10, 15 times in a row. And I was asking myself the same questions he was, like, am I the problem? You know, like I was saying, am I attractive enough? You know, I'm a decent-looking guy. You know, I got a good job. I got a nice house. But, you know, I still get blown out by hoes. But I didn't realize the problem is her, not you.
Seriously. You killed me, man.
Burn that into your mind, man. It's her, not you. You know, yeah, think of it as a business deal. All right, you're approaching women and talking to them, doing your 50% of the work, and it's her job to be receptive and open, which is her 50%. And if at any time she's not doing her part, that's on her, man, not you. you can't be responsible for a receptionist because you can't control the outcome of that situation. I mean, would you want to do business with someone who just walks away and isn't even open to interacting with you? But yeah, to sum it up, it's her, not you. That's pretty much how I feel about rejection. Just remember that, man.
Okay. All right. More wisdom.
I'd like to,
from
I'd like to comment
Jack.
On that.
Go ahead, Tripp.
Like, well, you kind of contradict yourself a little bit. Because I actually do agree with you. And I did for at one point, you know, you said it's a business deal, right? Business deal. Everyone's got to get what they need to get out of it, 50-50, right? So at the end of the day, it's not, you know, it's not like you're saying, it's not all her. It's not her fault. And also, it's not like people say, like, oh, it's the guy's fault. You know, sometimes it's a matter of both parties, you know. One guy might be screwing up and the girl's screwing up. Sometimes the girl screws up, sometimes the guy screws up. You know, but I don't think anyone can sit here and say, you know, it's the girl, it's not you, or it's the guy, it's not you. You know, so I don't know. How do you think about that?
And then, you know, they would just ignore me. I'm doing my 50%, and they're not even doing anything. So, you know, that's a bad business partner. She's doing 0% of the work. She's not even trying. So, you know, like I said, it's her, not you. You can't be responsible for her not saying hello back to you or doing her part of the interaction. You can't be responsible for that. So it's still her, not you.
Well, this is how I feel on who's to blame and what situation. Number one, I think it depends on the situation, and this is a lot of what my books talk about. If you're a guy, let's take you, Jack, and you're interacting with a woman, and you're essentially pretending to be somebody that you're not, and then you get rejected, then that's when I would put the blame on you.
I'm not talking about being honest, you know, just being real with women.
I see guys doing that.
And they
guys that try to pretend like they're more successful career-wise than they really are, or make more money than they really do, or they try to act like they're more intelligent than they really are, or have interests that they really don't. In those situations, that's where I blame the guy for the rejection. But if you are being yourself, being your real true self, and you're expressing your interests in a very forthright and straight to the point manner, and you get rejected, then in that situation, to me, the man did not do anything wrong. You just ran across a woman who you don't have chemistry with, and that's what I tell guys. In that situation, you should never take that personal. You should never look at yourself, and that's where I do have some issues with some dating coaches and pickup artists in the attraction and seduction community, because some guys, their advice is tailored towards just always avoiding rejection. And if you get rejected, that means you did something wrong or you didn't follow their advice. And I say to that, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. Some women, I say in my books, I say on my talk radio show, some women are going to always reject you. Every man is going to have some percentage of rejection. I don't care if you're Brad Pitt, George Clooney, I don't give a fuck. There's always going to be a percentage of women that are going to reject every man. With some men, it might be only 10% of women he encounters. Other men, it might be 90% of the women he encounters. But we're all going to have some percentage of rejection. And you can't lose any sleep over that. You can't think it's because you, again, in the second scenario, if you're being your true self and you're being an honest, forthright, straightforward communicator, then that's why I don't think you have anything to blame. It's just that you and that woman didn't have any chemistry. So anyway, that's my thoughts on it. And I appreciate you calling. And once again, Jack. Now, Tripp, I read something where you were being interviewed in print that caught my eye, because it's actually very similar to some of my advice. So I found it very interesting. You have this acronym you use for when a man first meets women, and you call it BITE. Explain to my listeners what BITE is.
Well, so it is what is a body language, intent, tonality, and what was it? Excitement.
No, the E was eye contact.
Eye contact. Okay, that's right. So right, so bite. So those are the ways. It's funny because I haven't used that. I haven't used that one in a while. I forgot my last one. Those are the ways to tell if a girl is interested in you or interested in the date if you guys are on a date. You could also use that in an initial interaction as well. So if you guys are first talking and you see that her body language is good, right? She's moving closer to you and not farther away from you. Her intent, you know, she's showing interest in you. She's, you know, actually asking you questions. She's interested in you. And then T, tonality. That's if her, you know, if she sounds like she's even having a good time, you know what I mean? Some girls will just totally walk through a conversation, walk through a thing, and they'll just sound like they're just can't wait for that second when you walk away. All right, so you get that eye contact, which is pretty much the biggest. Although some girls have a really contact. If a girl's not keeping eye contact with you and she's looking away and she's looking at her surroundings or just not really paying attention, then obviously she's not interested. So that's just like a small thing that you can think about in the back of your head when you're talking to a girl to kind of read where she's at.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure we have a lot of areas where we're similar to each other, but that's one area where you and I are almost just alike, because I emphasize all four of those big time. Body language.
Oh, yeah.
In my book, Who Said Again, that is probably my number one book where I emphasize body language. And like you were talking about something you talked about, I just did a workshop in Vegas earlier this year where I talked about the moving closer to you. I basically say, once you invade a woman's space, and I consider a woman's space that imaginary 3-foot radius that surrounds her, I say, once you invade a woman's space, she's going to do one of three things once you start talking to her. She's either going to move within a matter of 2 to 3 minutes into the conversation, she's going to move away from you, she's going to stay in the same spot, or she's going to move closer to you. What I feel like each represents, when a woman moves away from you, at maximum, that means she's just flat out not interested in you, not attracted to you. And at minimum, it means something about you is giving off an untrustworthy air. She's wary of you, and you're going to have to convince her that you're not some kind of weirdo or, you know, out to harm her. If a woman stays same, she doesn't move closer, nor does she move away from you, that means you can go half and half. That means there's a 50% chance that she's interested in you, 50% chance that she's not. She needs to hear more from you in your conversation to convince her that it would be worth her while to share your company in the near future. And if she moves closer to you, then yeah, that's when you're good to go. That's what I call the green light. That means she's
right.
Interested. And so yeah, all you got to do is just, you know, continue doing whatever it is you're doing, and 99% chance things are going to work out in your favor when a woman moves close.
Right.
And the tonality. Go ahead.
I was going to say, kind of going back to what we were talking about before, you know, which is sort of related in, you know, our, you know, guys are, it seems like you have a lot of listeners who get very frustrated with women. And, you know, and that is mindset. And I had this mindset once too, you know, it's like, if they reject me, then screw them, you know, like, it wasn't me, it was them. And I think that a lot of that is denial, to be honest with you. I think that those guys, sure, they have confidence and they're doing great and maybe they can approach it on the book, but if you're not a good communicator and if you're doing things like not able to read those signs like we're talking about, you know, those signs in body language, or just, you know, maybe you're coming off yourself, but maybe your body language is off, or maybe you're kind of being a little creepy or saying something that you think is cool, but maybe not a good time to bring up to a girl that you first meet. You know, I think that there's a lot of guys out there who miss those signs and who miss that stuff, and then they get rejected and they say, it wasn't me. You know, and I think that if you have everything, let's just say, again, going back to the quote-unquote perfect man, you know, everything going and everything that, you know, is in your inner game and your outer game is all up to par, then your rejection rate is always going to exist because no matter what, dating is a numbers game. That's a fact. But your rejection rate should be technically extreme. It should be low. Of course, going back to what we were talking about before is, yeah, maybe, you know, hopefully you're getting up to par, but you can pick up. And if that's the case, you should be upping the amount of women you're talking to, and you should be putting yourself in front of a more diverse crowd. Like the first caller, he goes to nightclubs. Well, there's your problem right there, buddy. You're meeting girls who are just in a nightclub. And there's a very specific kind of girl who goes to a nightclub. So I just hope that, you know, some of the callers are still listening and that you got to be able to look at the interaction as neutral as possible and as unbiased as possible to really see kind of what's going on.
Well, I agree with most of what you said. Here's my general take, and I might be repeating myself because I already made a lot of these comments, but where I differ from a lot of dating coaches and pickup artists is that when I work with clients, I don't teach them that rejection is a quote-unquote bad thing. A lot of people, like, I've been in workshops or listening to videos of dating coaches, and they'll treat rejection like that's the absolute worst thing that can happen. And me personally, I just don't feel that way. I don't agree with that. My basic attitude is very few, if any, men are ever going to be in a situation where every woman they approach is going to reciprocate their interest. That's just never going to happen.
True.
So my only thing, what I tell guys is if indeed a woman is not interested in you, I teach guys how to find that out as quickly as possible. And this goes back to my categories, and specifically the one time waster. I'd rather encounter a rejecter than a time waster. That's the main women I'm wary of, is the time is the rejecters. Those are the women, they'll straightforwardly tell you, I'm not interested in you. You know, basically, don't waste your time because I'm not interested. Whereas a time waster, those are the women that will, for a period of either hours, days, weeks, or sometimes even months, they will pretend like they're interested in you. They'll be very friendly to one degree or another. They'll be flirtatious. But when it's all said and done, they just have no romantic or sexual interest in you as possible. And those are the women that I teach guys to recognize as quickly as possible through things such as body language and how they react to different things you say. But, yeah, I don't look at rejection. Well, one thing I say in one of my books is this. I look at rejection as win-win. And some guys are like, that don't even make sense to me. But I really do. I look at rejection as win-win. Number one, if you get rejected by a woman who's genuinely not interested in you, I consider that a win, particularly if she communicates that to you in a very quick and straightforward manner, because you didn't invest any time and you didn't invest any money.
I agree.
So to me, that's a win. And the second scenario, if a woman rejects you but deep down she really was interested in you, then I believe at some point in the near future or distant future, she's going to make herself available to you again. And that's going to be a win because when she does, you're going to have the upper hand. So to me, either way, it's a win. I think the only time you lose, and this goes to your point, Tripp, about, again, recognizing things like the right body language signs, whatever. The only time I think a man loses is when he falls sucker to a time waster. And he doesn't communicate in the way he should be communicating with women, and he's not really a keenly perceptive of women's body language signals. And so he misses a lot, and he allows his time to be wasted. Like, for example, the guy, who was that who called in and said somebody spent $35,000 on a woman and he ain't even get no pussy. See, that's a loss right there. that's when you lose. You know, when you're spending that kind of, like, I had a woman on this show named Beige Fletcher. She wrote this book about gold digging. And, oh, man, Tripp, you would read that book and say, man, that book's a trip. Because she had one story where a guy spent $2,000 on her on a shopping spree, and he didn't even get as much as a tongue kiss. Oh, that just shook my head, man. That's just, whew. Anyway, I'm running out of time. If you can please tell my listening audience where they can find you on the World Wide Web and how they can take advantage of that book offer you have on your ebook.
Absolutely. So you can go to tripadvice.com, and that's Trip with two P's. A lot of guys might make that mistake, so it's Trip with two P's advice.com, and you can read more. I got a ton of blog posts, and I even have a YouTube channel where I put every single week. You can go to youtube.com/tripadvice, and you guys can get to know kind of what I'm about and what I teach and how I can help anybody out. So check it out, and you get your free ebook. It's right at the top of the website at tripadvice.com, right at the top, and just enter your name and email, and you'll get that book sent right to your email.
All righty. Well, I've enjoyed having you as a guest, Trip. You seem like a smooth cookie, and I wish you nothing but continued success. And on one of my next visits to L.A., I come out to L.A. quite often. So next time, we're going to have to hook up and do drinks or something.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Alan. It was a pleasure. I think you have great, great guys who call in and have a great fan base. So it was enjoyable talking to them and talking to you, and I hope I can come on again sometime.
Okay, great. Listeners, that's going to do it for tonight. Join me again next week when I have a guest by the name of Jody Ambrose. Jody Ambrose. She has a book that's basically geared towards helping men get laid more, helping men get some more pussy. So, you know, I'm all ears for that. So that's going to be next week right here on Upfront and Straightforward. Until then, have an enjoyable weekend. Be safe and all that good stuff. And I will be right here next week. Until then, take care.